we go. Oh, Teeny. By the way, Sherry, Teeny has heard the news that they're hiring strippers. And she
I don't believe this.
No, I believe it. I see you over there.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good thing they're serving alcohol now, so she could really get into the game.
Okay. She's going to try to pick up a little extra money on the side because they got strippers, and they're hiring strippers now, and it's going to be fully nude. We'll have that in a second, but first, David Amadeus! All right. Can't bring Kate Stone on until I get her music. Don't have her music. So, no
5:30, Kate Stone. 5:30.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, Joe. Joe, I've got some bad news for you.
The rats eating our marijuana. They're all high.
That's right. Kate coming by to talk about the big news. So remember this. We'll bring up the quick story for everybody. Remember when there was a club in Capitol Hill got raided by alcohol folks? They came in there and they look around like, you got like a half a nipple and you got this you got problems here. So then quickly, within like a week or something, Matt Markovich was surprised by how quickly the thing moved through. And they said, okay, within word, no lewd laws. They basically just lifted them all. So just, you know, whatever you want to do, they have more lewd and, you know, behavior that would be considered to be offensive to anybody before. You know, you got to cover this, got to cover that. They just took it off the books. So it was sort of, you know, wild, wild west of whatever you want to wear or not wear. Now there are clubs that are opening up in Seattle and the surrounding areas that are going to be able to serve alcohol, and you could be totally nude, live nude, as opposed to dead nude or something. Why live nude? You know, do we just assume that they're live if they're also nude?
You mean alive? Do you want to say alive and nude? Would that clarify it?
It'll say live nude girls on the sign. It flashes on and off. So we'll see more of that in the city of Seattle. Kate Stone comes by with that. But first, here it is. The ex-revenge gone wild. Man blows up his girlfriend's house and then planned to have a... Oh, this is... Joe, why are we doing the same story over and over? This happens all the time. And then plan to have a python eat her daughter. So that was the way that was good. And this is just, doesn't this happen all the time? The ex-man blows up the house of the girlfriend, but then wants to get a python to finish off the offspring.
Nearly 13 months after a Tannerite bomb rocked this Richmond Hill home, work is still being done to put this house back together. It's been a reminder of the sinister plot to kill a woman and her daughter, detailed in a newly unsealed six-count indictment. It says Stephen Glosser and Caleb Kinsey stalked and harassed the woman for 2 months leading up to the bombing. Glosser tracked her down using a photo the woman gave her. Federal prosecutors say they sent dead rats and feces to the home, even going as far as to get a large python and release it.
Okay. Of the two, which one would you rather not have delivered to your house? The dead rats or the feces?
Oh, totally the dead rats.
The rats eating our marijuana. They're all high.
That's a story in New York. Okay, so you'd go, if you have two boxes you're on, let's make a deal. And Monty Hall says, you can have the dead rats or you can have the feces. You'd say?
I'll take the feces. For 10.
Save that, Andrew, please.
Into the home, hoping it would eat the woman's child. The indictment says Kinsey picked up the Tannerite and other bomb-making materials, and the pair put it together. Glosser later hired a cleaning crew. Federal prosecutors say they sent dead rats and feces to the home, even going as far as to get a large python and release it into the home, hoping it would eat the woman's child. The indictment says Kinsey picked up the Tannerite and other bomb-making materials, and the pair put it together. Glosser later hired a cleaning crew to conceal the duo's illicit work. And on January 13th, the bomb was placed and exploded. Luckily, the woman and her child, who had just moved in that day, were unharmed. But the house was nearly destroyed. Today, neighbors say the tight-knit community is different. Several have moved out because of the incident. None that we talked to wanted to speak on camera. But for now, the work continues. Trying to make this house a home again.
And the pair could face up to 20 years in prison without the possibility of parole. Their trial has yet to be scheduled. In Bryan County, I'm Andy Cole, WJCL 22 News.
That guy needs a friend with a level head. right?
Yeah.
Okay. He needs a little more than that, but yeah.
So, okay, here's my plan. Okay, I'm going to blow it up. I've got a python. I'm send a python in there to eat the kid. And the person will be like, well, wait. Is the python going to get blown up too? Like, somebody would stop the guy going, I don't know about the python idea. Like, they would tell him, you don't want to do that. But somebody encouraged him to release the python. So the plan was, python goes in, eats the kid, and then blow the house up. Is that what it is?
Well, I think it was probably in steps. So he says, hey, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get rats and feces, okay? And that's going to drive them out of the house. Get the rats and the feces in there, man. They're gone. They're gone. Right. Okay, that didn't work.
Wait.
Let's do this.
Wait, hold on. What's feces?
I'll explain later. I'll show you later.
Okay.
Okay. 2 days later. That didn't work, man. All right, tell you what. I don't like that kid. I'm getting a python. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting a python.
Okay.
And we'll eat the kid, and then she's out of here. Okay? All right. 2 days later.
That's good. Good plan. Good plan.
Okay, it didn't work.
Well, let's go to Glen C, which is a bomb.
Yeah.
Still want to know what feces is. All right, so the guy gets caught. I watched the weirdest thing. It's crazy what you can see on YouTube. Not on YouTube, on Instagram. This woman puts her boyfriend, because he's abusing her, in a suitcase and then videotapes the guy in the suitcase saying,
Okay, Sharon, seriously, let me out. Okay, Sharon, come on. I'm serious, let me out. Okay, Sharon, Sharon, I know you're out there. Just, the suitcase.
And it's a big suitcase. How he got her in there, I don't know. I got him in there, I don't know. And the suitcase is moving around. He eventually suffocates and dies, and she videotapes the whole thing.
Oh, he dies?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, that's an act. That's people putting that together.
Nope.
Oh, he died.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. Joe, you in front of a computer?
I am.
Woman charged suitcase murder. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But she
video shows final moments in suitcase.
Yeah.
How did she get him in the suitcase? This guy must be tiny.
Maybe she had a python with feces or something. I don't know. But and I guess you can't get out of the suitcase. So he's talking to her the whole time while he's in the suitcase. And she's just videotaping away. Her defense attorney said, I can't handle this lady. So Your Honor, turn her over to somebody else. I can't represent her because apparently she's just crazy. I mean, obviously, because she got videotaped.
I was going to say, what?
The guy in the suitcase.
How can you accuse her of being crazy? She just stuffed her boyfriend in a suitcase and watched him die in agony. And, oh, by the way, made sure that she had a recording of it.
Did you watch it, Joe? Did you see the video of it?
I'm kind of, I don't want to be traumatized.
It's still up? You can still see it?
Yeah, you can still watch it.
No, that's like a snuff
wait,
film.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Calm down, everybody. It's a perfectly brand new looking suitcase, and it's there on the ground, and the guy's talking to her while she's videotaping sitting in the chair. It's not like you can hear him gasping or anything else.
Did they swear anything, or can we turn this on?
I think he's how you feeling, Andrew? You can just hear him saying, "Hey, sir, come on, sir, let me out of here."
For everything
you've
done. Now
there's nothing to worry about. Two seconds in.
Whoopsie. Yeah. Imagine that. The woman's killing her boyfriend and she's using potty language.
Nice work, Andrew.
Look at Andrew. Whoa, that's good for Andrew. It's the old blood rolling.
He's so mad at me.
And see, you know, would never let it done that. Jacob would have never let us.
No way.
I had to double check it. We were fine. We got it.
Okay,
good.
Thank you, Andrew.
Got it. Good job.
Nice work.
Sharon Stone says producer pressured her to put her co-star in a piece of luggage. No, to put her co-star or to have sex with her co-star, Billy Baldwin, and Baldwin is firing back. This, according to Daily Mail, Sharon Stone coming out with the fact that what movie were they in together that the producer said, you know, maybe you guys kind of had like a couple of dates or something. It would improve your intimacy. Is that what it was?
I think it was called Sliver. And she claims that Robert Evans, who was the producer or the director, went to her and said, he's such a bad actor that I think if you have sex with him, he'll be a better actor. And she said, no, I'm not doing that. And then she talked about it on this podcast. And here's what Billy Baldwin said. Not sure why Sharon Stone keeps talking about me all these years later. Does she have a crush on me, or is she still hurt after all these years because I shunned her advances? He claims that I screen tested and ran into them at MGM. I'm going to make him fall so hard for me, it's going to make his head spin. That's what she allegedly said to her friend. I have so much dirt on her, it would make her head spin, but I've kept quiet. He also claims that he talked the director into not having him kiss her because he didn't want that involvement. And he said, wonder if I should write a book and tell the many, many disturbing, kinky and unprofessional tales about Sharon.
And the book would be read by exactly zero people.
I know.
I don't know why he's so mad. It didn't really, you know, throw much dirt on him. It was more on the producer.
Well, that and Sharon Stone wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And if any, but they're both not exactly class acts here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're, and she's always looking for attention. Whatever it is, she's looking for attention. And she claims that, you know, the whole Basic Instinct scene cost her the custody of her child. And I mean, it's, I don't know.
Let's move on from the two of them.
Okay.
Is he the lesser of the talented of the Baldwin brothers? Which one is he?
He is the bottom of the barrel, I believe, in the Baldwins.
There's four of them.
Okay. And the least talented of them. Maybe how he gets introduced. TikTok, it now has made something else go viral. I don't understand why, but people are paying. Oh, my God. This is a canvas tote bag that they've got there at Trader Joe's. It sells for $2.99. It's a mini canvas tote bag, but it's identical to the company's original canvas tote bag. But for some reason now, people have watched this more than 3 million times. People rushing to go get these things. What are they? What is this? I'm playing. I wish I was in a suitcase right now. I don't know what's going on.
They are waiting for them, the Trader Joe's people, to bring out the cart or the carrier or whatever with all the tote bags, and then they're going to go for them.
And people are paying $500 for these things?
Some have been selling up to $500. I saw them the other day at a Trader Joe's. They're really cute. I mean, there's a little tote bag, and they've got Trader Joe's on it and everything. But I don't know why people just don't go to Trader Joe's. I guess they're selling out, and that's why they can't get them. But they say eBay, one of them sold up to $500, and it's the new Stanley, you know, the Stanley Cups. So when Target had Stanley Cups for sale for Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day theme, people rushed and rushed and rushed to get that particular version. So it might very well be that they're getting like a green one and a blue one and a white one and, you know, a large variety of them. They're collecting them.
Uh-huh. Here's what people have done on eBay. You get the product, you put it up, then you have a bunch of friends bid on it and bid it up to $500, okay? Then the person gives the person who won it in the auction the $500 to pay them. So what it does is it creates this idea. It's a faux viral product that everybody thinks, oh my gosh, have you heard this sold for $500? So then if you happen to have some, then you put them up and you sell them for $200 or $300 because people are like, well, gosh, I'm going to get a deal. So the first one is basically a fraud. The $500 one is a fraud that sets the market high to make them think there's everybody wants these things, and then you slowly drib and drab them out there and sell them for like $200 or $250. Yeah, how about that? Huh? Yeah.
Good trip.
Clever, Shane.
Nick and I went to an event on Saturday, and she didn't have a purse, so she went over to Marshall's or Ross and found this little tiny handbag. She's walking around this fancy schmancy party. This lady goes up, excuse me, I just have to ask, is that a vintage Louis bag? Is that vintage Louis? And Nick's like, I'm like, what did you say? Because she got it at Ross for $9. Right.
Should offer to sell it.
Yes. because it had that kind of Louis Vuitton sort of look. It was small. It's like, oh, you know, do you admit that it's a Ross? And that gives you a whole nuke. You get cachet, you get points either way, right? Because it's like, no, I got it at Ross for $9. It's nothing to do with Louis Vuitton. Or do you say, well, yes, it is 1973 Louis or whatever it was. So
why don't you just say it's a Ross Louis or a Ross Vuitton?
Ross Louis. Louis Vuitton. Vuitton. Louis. I don't understand all the Louis stuff. People going for crazy things for that. By the way, Seattle is the, what is this one? Is Seattle the, the real Seattle Freeze? Can we just give up on the Seattle Freeze stories?
I know. The FYI guy goes into, how many times does this have to be explained?
Heard it, move on. Seattle,
I know.
Exactly. I know, angry man. How about this story, angry man? Tanning mania is back. Heard it, move on. That one? All right.
People are going after tanning beds and all kinds of tanning solutions. Now they even have a pill that you can take that turns your skin tan. What could possibly go wrong?
Angry man, how about Lily Allen says her childhood has ruined her career, but she has no regrets.
Sure she doesn't. She says that she's a singer, and she says that when she had her two children, her career was basically over. There's no way you can balance all of those things.
Angry man, have you heard that one? Oh, I guess we're okay with that one then. No good. She whiz. Very excited to hear about this story. Don't forget about Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. The best eggs, the freshest eggs from Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. You're writing to us as you are. One of you gets a chance to be letter of the day. The only one, just one. Not so fast there. Paul in Sammamish for the 15th time in a row. He's on a streak. It's like the Tom Brady of letter writers over there. Write to us at MyNorthwest.com. You text as well. Come on in through the Muckleshoot Casino text line 1-888-973-5476.
She was an American girl, raised up in
Providence. All right, Kate Stone, you said you'd have this story for us regarding all the changes in the laws in the state of Washington. We were the last state where they didn't serve any alcohol in those strip clubs. The women also had to pay about $200 to dance.
I don't think we're the last. I'm from Utah, and I'm pretty sure we are not behind Utah in this.
I don't think. Does Utah even have strip clubs?
They do. I've been to one. Yep. Okay.
And they must not serve alcohol there, right?
They do not. No. No. You get to choose one or the other, but no longer in Washington State. Now, ¿por qué no los dos? We're talking bearskin and booze in the same place. Yes, a lewd conduct law that has been on the books in Washington was rolled back last month after some Capitol Hill bars got raided by Seattle police. They said, this is persecution. And they said all it was is our male bartender had a nipple showing, and you know this law needs to be looked at. So the Liquor and Cannabis Board actually looked at it, and with Governor Inslee's support, they actually stopped enforcing it. Which essentially the lewd conduct law allowed them to crack down on scantily clad customers and employees. And essentially threaten their liquor license if they were found in violation of this. Well, they stopped enforcing it, and then state lawmakers went to the table and actually wrote a new law that essentially allows for, let's say, you could strip it down, take it all off, what have you. The difference is strip clubs at the moment are 18 plus, so if they want to serve alcohol, they are going to have to get a liquor license, which means, according to this bill, they're going to have to raise their age requirements. Now, someone asked me, and I'm not really sure of the specifics of whether they can have like a barrier wall, which is what they had at the club I went to in Utah, where you have one side that serves alcohol, the other side that doesn't. But needless to say, there are some nightclubs who are chomping at the bit to get this started. Zach Levine is one of them. He owns Supernova Nightclub in Seattle, and he says he's going to start introducing this as soon as next weekend. He's going to have go-go dancers that will be fully nude, And he says his establishment is not a strip club. He's not going to turn it into a strip club, but he is going to offer that form of adult entertainment, and he believes he's the first in Washington to actually do so.
This is really exciting for Washington State. Frankly, long overdue. We're excited to join Portland, Oregon, our neighbors to the north, Vancouver, BC, Atlanta, Miami, and Las Vegas.
Fun fact, Portland actually has a vegan strip club. that a former paramour of mine used to frequent quite a bit. He loved the nachos there. But yes, this is sort of getting Washington in tune with our neighbors to both the north and south. So there's a lot of excitement, at least from those in Supernova. Again, the liquor license will be a little bit of a sticking point for some of the actual strip clubs. And then I did ask him, Zach Levine, about the question of security and if alcohol plus full nudity is going to cause, you know, any sort of problems or escalate any problems that sometimes occur in nightclubs.
Yeah. You're not allowed to touch the performers. We have increased security to protect the girls.
And at this point, it's just going to be female go-go dancers, although they are open to expanding it. But he says he believes that a lot of other businesses will begin following suit. I'm curious if that is actually the case. Just because you can have fully nude dancers doesn't mean you necessarily will. So I'm curious to see how many businesses actually take advantage of these loosened laws. So I guess we'll have to see.
But the other part is, if all of a sudden they go ahead and change these laws, are these guys then out the money if they set this thing up to have these dancers and create those cages or whatever they're dancing in to kind of create that stuff? Is there a chance that all of a sudden they could say, oh, you know what? We opened it. We loosened it. Now we're going to restrict it again.
Well, that's
once this thing's
right.
It's going to get going, right?
And that's why lawmakers actually drafted this bill. So initially they were just suspending enforcement of the law that cracked down on the scantily clad people. But now they're actually codifying it into law that you are allowed to do that. And the Liquor and Cannabis Board actually cannot crack down on you for these particular things. So it really is kind of a shift in the mentality of at least the state on what is and is not allowed, at least in adult entertainment venues. And again, as Zach Levine says, it brings us, you know, to where Portland is, to where Vancouver is, and Atlanta, Miami, Las Vegas. But he said, you know, it isn't going to change everything entirely, and he doesn't want, you know, to necessarily scare people away with this change, shall we say.
Not putting up a neon sign with three X's or anything, and, you know, we're not turning into the Lusty Lady as they formerly had their First Avenue marquee.
So he's essentially saying it's another option for adult entertainment, and he believes that there is a market for things like that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that every bar and nightclub you walk into, you're going to, you know, see free the nipple necessarily. Can we say nipple?
No.
No. That was my third time, I think.
But by the way, you notice we gave you a free pass on the fact that your boyfriend only went to the strip club for tacos. I don't
know.
It was nachos.
That's not vegan, is
vegan
it?
Vegan nachos. It was vegan cheese, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And I don't think that's the only reason he went there, but.
What?
I mean, you got to have a snack when you're, you know, enjoying your extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you look at the naked women, just like cheese hanging out of your mouth.
And that's the curiosity that I have, if this is going to become a more widespread thing, and I don't know if I'm going to have to do some investigative journalism on this or not, you know, kind of go suss it out for myself.
It's going to be pretty depressing.
Oh.
Do you think that the girls dancing that are doing the go-go stuff will wear go-go boots at least?
I don't know what go-go boots are. I'll be honest.
What?
I know.
What?
I'm sorry.
You what
are they?
They're super sexy boots that go
up
the calf.
Like Austin Powers?
Yeah,
like that. Okay. Nancy Sinatra? Yes. These boots are made for walking?
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Sue Bell's got a pair on.
Hey, everybody. It's Sue Bell and Palm Beach.
No.
I mean, that's a good question. Is fully nude no shoes? Or does mean...
It's up to the imagination. What I recommend, go to the club on Gordon Lightfoot night. You know what that is, Kate?
Yeah, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, of course.
Yes, when the girls dance
a six-minute soliloquy. Yep.
the Great Lake they call Gitche Gumee.
Superior, it said, never gives up her dead.
Said, never gives up her
dead. I had a dad who was born in the 50s, so. Fitzgerald.
Imagine a girl dancing to this.
I mean, it's also a history lesson. You learn something.
I know, when the main hatchway gives in.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, fellas, it's been good to know you.
Good to know you. No, it's fellas, it's too rough to feed you.
Fellas, it's too rough to feed you. And then, fellas, it's good to know you.
Right. Exactly. Something past 8 when the main hatchway gave in.
Yeah.
Said, fellas, it's been good to know you.
Exactly. Exactly. If you've not heard the song, we're not making it very clear for you.
14 minutes long. It really wears out the strippers.
It's 8 minutes? 6 or 8 minutes.
Hatchway gave
six and a half minutes.
Six and a half minutes. They all passed. Spoiler alert.
Hey.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Swing.
No. You know. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm here. Can that be my new in song? That read
the
wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Marijuana. They're all high.
I mean.
Yes.
It's a Tuesday.
Yep. Hey,
will you both sing like that every time?
Legend runs down from the Chippewa down to the Great
Lake. Will you teach John the words?
Superior, it's it. Anyway.
Wow, what a twist.
I know. The fact that I know that.
Shocker.
Yeah, but you didn't know what go-go boots were.
I know.
Come on.
I've got some serious gaps in my knowledge.
Big gaps.
That's what you're here for, John, to teach me.
Okay.
You're my Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You hear that music?
And now you know the rest of the story.
Okay. The show's a delight, huh? Isn't it, though? Don't you all feel better at the end of the show? I mean, we've got one more hour, but sort of checking in, seeing how we're all feeling. Jerry, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. How are you feeling?
Good.
Good. I'll take the feces. Now I don't feel so good.
Stop. You know what? This show is not going to be Mr. Scatological Humor Day, okay? That's not what this is all about. Let's get to the mailman. We're going to find out how people have learned and grown as people intellectually and emotionally.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yes, to your door. All right. Kids, you having a good time?
Mom, change the station.
Okay, don't ask the kids. All right, we'll get a letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest, Sherry.
Off topic. Judy says, how many days are left on John's death chart on the wall?
No. Thank you, Judy, for caring. 960 weeks left. Thank you, Judy. If you've got a little chart at home, you're keeping track. You are a special person. Matt in Issaquah on today's Instagram story. John had a tapeworm and its head popped off. Thank you, Matt. Well, you know, again, this show is it's like a giant sandwich. You can't just eat a little bit and leave and come back. You gotta it's got multiple layers to it.
Yeah, like you gotta devour
Tolstoy
the
novel.
Whole thing.
Yeah, it's like a Tolstoy novel. It's a lot of characters, a lot of things moving around. But he's referring back to like a couple of days ago with that one. Thank you very much for that one, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Hee Haw Aaron says, Sherry, you have stated in past shows that you never learned to ride a bike. So which is the truth? Did you ride or not? This is a very important question that must be answered. The truth is, I did learn to ride a bike, and I rode my bike a lot as a kid. But then Trevor bought me a bike as an adult, and I couldn't get the hang of it again. I mean, I kind of did.
Geez.
Yeah, I know. That was me when I fell off of it 40 times.
But I thought you'd never forget how to ride a bike.
That's a myth. I finally got it.
Wow.
But it was just, I didn't feel safe.
Okay. All right. Didn't feel safe. Okay. Sherry's commercial on Bellevue Rare Coins sounds like she's trying to seduce us into buying coins.
Exactly. You figured it out, didn't you, 206? Yeah, I'll be down there.
Keep going, Sherry.
Oh, Rachel is at 425. Oh, wait.
No,
okay.
No, no.
It's time for the letter of the day.
We're on a very tight schedule here. When Teenie says read it, we read it. That's what we do. Thank you, Teenie.
Okay. This is from the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham and Howe. Good afternoon. I'm reaching out to you on behalf of my client, Andre Bocelli. This text message serves as a written notice demanding that John Curley immediately stop dancing nude to Mr. Bocelli's hit song, Conte Partrio.
Yeah.
Partiro.
Yeah.
Notified of John Curley's adaptation of Mr. Bocelli's song, my client became physically ill and had to be restrained. Please tell Mr. Curley to find another way to get going in the morning. Thank you. Jason Dewey.
Put that in your book.
Well, now you've heard it.
You know what, Mr.
Notice.
Dewey, I'm not afraid of you.
I wish I were naked right now.
That's a lot of movement.
Wow.
Oh, that's like a swan.
That is Swan Lake right there.
Yes. Oh, okay. You just set up the computer. Please don't kick it. Yeah, very nice. Oh. It's hauntingly beautiful, John.
Thank you. All right, I gotta get ready. We got another hour of this. Let's go to Nate, the big and
that's all she wrote.
Woo! Oh my God, I think I hurt myself. Hang on.
I think I'm doing damage to my digestive system.